by the artiste Rob Sanderson. How are you doing today, Rob?
Good morning. Hello.
Yes, yeah, it's Saturday. Morning. It's Saturday. Morning. Welcome to the show.
It is morning.
Yes. And we also are joined by Furby. What's up, Furbs?
Good morning, everybody. Yeah. I'm doing good. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. It'll probably still be morning by the time the show is over.
Yeah, it will still be morning. You are correct, because then Bob Matthews is on at 11, but that's been happening like every week. So we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, and had some really crazy stuff this past week. Lots of things to talk about. We got a pay-per-view. I don't know what to call them anymore. A live event on the, not even the WWE Network. It is now the Peacock Network WWE stuff. Okay, we got to talk a little bit about that later in the show, because now officially the WWE Network has been merged with the Peacock Network. And if you haven't signed up for the Peacock Network, you got 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks before they shut down the WWE Network login. So just I'm reminding you of that now. But we'll talk about that too as well. But I want to start off talking about the big news this week, and there's lots of big news. But I don't know. This is big news, you know, and got me into an argument online. So it's big news to me, I guess. But AEW Dynamite announces a new date in Rochester. And what's important about this is it's September 29th, 2021, a mere 8 days after my birthday. So it is a birthday show for me. I will say that. But because they announced the date, I think there's some confidence in that this is going to actually happen now. This will actually be the date. You know, before it was like, well, we plan to do it on this date. It was postponed. And now they finally got a date. They announced it again. Tickets are on sale again. Your tickets are good for if you bought them already from last March 15th, I think it was, 2020. 18th, 2020. That's right. If you have bought tickets for that, it is good for this show. So hold on to them, get ready to go. But the interesting thing is, they have a date out. They're all excited. I think New York's slowly but surely opening up now. And, but some people are like still, the guys who like wear the tinfoil hats and stuff are like thinking, you know, I'm never going to go back to them. They canceled three times now. And it's I want to tell people, anyone who believes that AEW had anything to do with the cancellation of those shows, they got to be crazy, because they still wanted to do them. It was the New York State, and it was the arena saying we can't do it. The New York State saying no. So, but I just want to say that I'm happy it's happening. Hallelujah. Cannot wait. And it's a shame. I mean, yes, we've gone through this story many times. It would have been Brody Lee's debut in Rochester, also with AEW. And it would have been like the perfect, coincidence, a perfect timing of everything. And it was sold out. It was close to being sold out. It was going to definitely be a big crowd. And I'm hoping it can be a big crowd again, and I'm looking forward to going to it. So what do you guys think about it? They finally announced this date. Is there anything that sticks out about it to you?
It to me, it just feels like it's becoming more of a realistic feeling that this is actually going to happen now. I mean, as we see that the world is starting to open up a little bit, I mean, we're still giving it more time. I mean, six more months on the road, and we're getting closer and closer and closer. Not saying everything's going to be a perfect world, but I definitely think that things are looking brighter in the future. Just really excited for this to actually happen.
I think with this, a lot of thoughts really quick. New York State in April is supposed to go to 10% indoor arenas, 20% outdoor arenas. We're on the right track. We're not there yet. If you're blaming AEW for postponing again, you're an idiot. It is not their decision. They don't want to do this. You're an absolute conspiracy idiot if you think AEW can just go to the Blue Cross Arena and open the doors and say, come on in, guys. Let's have the show today. Like, that's not how this works.
No.
And people who think that don't really understand how anything works, like masks and social distancing and the world. Yeah. So,
and they don't think there's a pandemic as well. I'm just going to throw that out there. Yeah.
No. It is exciting because I think, you know, we're in this situation, not to go on a huge tangent, but the thought process is that most people are going to be vaccinated by June at this point. And so will we be at a point in September where we can have a 100% capacity arena safely? I don't know.
Probably not.
Are we going to be at the point where we can have a good crowd in the Blue Cross Arena? I think so. And I think it's exciting. And quite honestly, like, if you want to look at it a little bit selfishly, like, we all want to see real things come back safely. We're dying for this to happen. I'm dying for it to happen outside of wrestling in terms of things that happen in arenas with sticks and pucks and jobs and things like that, too.
Concerts but as well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And international travel. But when you look at the schedule, they updated, AEW updated Rochester. They updated their return to the Lee Corps Center in Philadelphia, home of Temple University, and Boston. Those are the only three outside of Jacksonville right now. So when you look at those, could we not only have maybe AEW in Rochester in September, but could this be one of the first shows that's back for real? Like, could we were supposed to have a very special show in Rochester a year ago. And unfortunately, we got robbed of that. We'll never be able to change that. But this could be one of the first real, true things to happen again. Like, Rochester is on the list to being one of the first returns. And when you think about the energy that there could be in that building, like, that's exciting. And quite honestly, after the way the last year has gone, another 6 months doesn't seem that bad. It'll be here before we know it, and I think it'll be awesome. So I think it's exciting. I think it's smart. I think June was going to be too soon. June, you're not going to be able to put as big of a crowd in there as you will be able to in September. So let's do it right. Get your vaccines. Continue to mask up. Stop being an idiot, especially – never mind.
It'll be – and the cool thing –
Facebook page this week.
Cool thing is it's going to be a TV show, and I think that we'll probably get – some Brody Lee tribute stuff going on because this is his hometown.
I wouldn't doubt, honestly, if the opening to the show is just a Brody chant, which would be fantastic. And if it is that Rochester is blessed and lucky enough to have the first live AEW TV show and first AEW Dynamite back from this whole pandemic world, I mean, that's a great way, not that it's really their fault or in control, but it's a great way to make up, if you will, for what we did lose.
And I think it'll be, I don't know if it'll be first, but, you know, one of the first. I agree. Yeah. There will be Brody stuff. I honestly would, during a commercial break or before the show, I would just, on the Contron, I would just throw up the video of his debut. Like, let the crowd just watch that and enjoy it. You know, I think a lot of us went back and watched that this week on the anniversary of it. And so it's exciting. I think we're on the right track. And for a while there, it was like, we don't know what's going to happen. Postpone. I get people are frustrated. We're all frustrated.
Yes.
But again, if you think AEW can just run tomorrow, you're stupid.
They're not bowing to anybody. I mean, they are.
Go move to Texas.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, the interesting thing is, by the way, speaking of Brody tribute, Darby Allin this past week on AEW Dynamite, you know, calling him the greatest TNT champion ever, which I thought was really nice, you know. And then, you know, of course, opening it up to anyone from the Dark Order to come out and take him on next week on, you know, a challenge for his title, which I thought was great. And we saw Negative One there again as well. He wanted to throw his hat in there, and I would love to see him in Rochester. So let's see if we can talk to Cindy. See if Cindy's coming up, you know.
Yeah,
that would be a great reaction from that crowd for Negative One in the town he was born into.
Yeah,
for sure.
Town,
and just to kind of go on this similar thing with John Silver being the one to take the challenge. I definitely hope he comes out in the gear that Brody bought him.
Oh yeah, yep. Oh yeah, and you know, it's funny is I've got pictures of Negative One when Luke Harper was in the WWE here in town in the front row, and Big E was like harassing him, and just a bunch of the stars were coming over and, you know, giving him noogies and stuff. So he grew up in that front row with his dad there. So it's like I would love to see him start the show, you know. We'll see what happens. So let's cross your fingers and hope everything's going on, and I'm super excited to see that. One thing I would do want to do mention about AEW Dynamite this weekend. We kind of teased it a little bit. I was talking with Ferb about before you got on here with us, Artis. But what do you think about the unsanctioned tag match to end the show on Wednesday this past week?
I will say that I loved it. And we've talked a lot in recent weeks about I'm not that much of a hardcore match fan. I didn't necessarily love everything about the Moxley Omega match. I give them a lot of credit. Obviously, we know the post-match stuff. We don't need to think about that anymore. But to me, it was a star-making performance. It was a match that you haven't seen something like that from the women. You really haven't.
Nope,
and
you're right.
In my mind, that could be a top five match in AEW history so far. I think it was a way above and beyond expectations of myself and pretty much anybody I know. I think Britt Baker has improved so much. I don't like, she was the first woman signed to AEW. And quite honestly, I feel like she was still a little green at that point. You know, had a good amount of indie experience and stuff, but there was still room for growth there. She didn't show any signs of not being a star on what, like, she was fantastic. And Thunder Rosa, you know, I just want to say, like, she's somebody I saw wrestle a lot in South Texas, living down there. And I always thought, like, she's really good, super friendly. The fans love her down there. Absolutely love her. They go nuts. There's huge lines at her merch table, everything else. And I always thought, like, oh, she's really, really, really good, you know? And then, like, it was cool to see her start to make a name for herself, you know, NWA and all that stuff. Holy cow. Never expected this. Never expected that she would be the first woman to get a main event win in AEW history. But I just, it's too bad they can't really sign her.
Yeah.
Contract status and stuff. But I love the match. And honestly, the tack question, I know I'm going long here.
It's okay.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I like the, it's not something you see with the women that often. So it didn't bother me. It's better than stupid, like, sparklers.
I will say one thing. Thunder Rosa was a human pincushion. Okay. I just wanted to put that out there. When Thunder Rosa went into those tacks, I mean, and they pulled that close up of her back, it's like, okay, go ahead, Ferbs. There.
Yeah, I know I mentioned it earlier, but I absolutely loved it. I think stylistically, even though it was like a lights out, unsanctioned, hardcore, whatever you want to call it, but they did some, you know, other than just the ladders, the tables, the tacks, there was real professional wrestling in it, and they beat each other up. It was brutal. But these two, for what it was, I was a little nervous at first when they named it being the main event, not because two women in the main event, that wasn't it, because even though they had some story, it wasn't like anything huge and impactful like we'd seen with some other things. So when I saw it, I was like, closing out the show, but they delivered. I mean, it was unbelievable. Hats off to them. Brutal performance, and it was just seeing the emotion out of it, it was great. I loved it. And
okay. Yeah, I'll get, yeah, listen, I was kind of a critic of it. You know, I mean, I'm not a big fan of hardcore/tag matches because I think we've seen too many lately. But, you know, if you do put it in perspective, you don't usually see a tag match with women. And I mean, before the tags ever came out, Britt Baker was, you know, bleeding like crazy anyways.
Between the ladders, the chairs, the tables, the tacks, it had everything in it. I don't think they could have done any better with that match. I thought it was perfect. It was so much better than what I expected. It's another sign of, like, oh, Hikaru Shida's the women's champion, but how overshadowed is she by whether it's Maki Ito, whether it's Thunder Rosa, whether it's Britt Baker, like all these people, like, they got to start doing something with their women's champion. But props to everybody involved. I love the match. I went back and I rewatched it all again. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
And I do.
I think we're finally seeing the evolution of Britt Baker as well. I know you were saying earlier, you know, she was a little green in the beginning, you know, first AEW woman signee, she kind of moved along. Everybody thought, you know, the timing was hers right from the get go, but I like how they, you know, let her establish herself as who she is. She's already had a big fan base, and now we're really starting to see maybe an actual contender, you know, for Shida.
Yeah, that's without a doubt. But she also, once NWA starts their TV stuff again, she's going to disappear, I'm guessing. She does have a contract with NWA.
Well, th- Thunder Rosa. I was talking about Britt Baker.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Thunder Rosa. I got Thunder Rosa on the brain because Thunder Rosa is just a quality woman. You know, I always thought that Tessa Blanchard was like the, you know, like the prototype of what you want as a women's champion in women's wrestling. But now I'm beginning to believe Thunder Rosa is very, very good. I enjoy all of her matches. And, you know, and she, and I think that I'm looking forward to actually, I can't imagine that's a blow off match between the two because they've also had this rivalry going. So I'm sure it's going to continue on a bit further.
I'm honestly, I'm a little confused that Britt didn't win. Not that she looks weak at all. I mean, she took an absolute beating in that match.
Sure.
I mean, you think of like the iconic pictures of Steve Austin bleeding and stuff, like Britt Baker looked just the same with that. So to me, she, at this point, she should be the next women's champion. They built her up so well. And I don't know, like to give Thunder Rosa the win, like to me, I thought maybe that was like the blow off after 4 months of them. I mean, they can't do anything more than that.
Yeah.
So it's another loss for Britt, which is just weird to me. And if anything, I feel like Thunder Rosa, maybe like she wrestles on NWA on Sunday, maybe kind of goes away for a little bit because she's not really an AEW talent, like kind of is, kind of isn't.
And her match against Camille on NWA is a number one contenders match, so maybe she gets that shot back against Serena Deeb once Serena Deeb's healthy. And even though it's a loss in the rankings technically for Britt Baker, but those rankings mean nothing. So did she really
lose? I didn't even think about that. Actually, now that you bring it up, because it's a lights out match, it does not count.
Yeah, as unsanctioned.
So that's probably how they'll defend it. Okay.
Quote unquote unsanctioned.
Going into this, I was like, why are we calling it a lights out unsanctioned? Why is it not sanctioned? Like, you sanction everything else. That's stupid. Okay, now it explains it.
That makes sense.
That'll be Britt's excuse. And
All right. Well, with that being said, we got to go to break. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Furby and the Artiste, and you and Danger and DC are someplace else. They're in the hot tub of love up in Niagara Falls. You know, I don't know what they're doing up there, but nevertheless, welcome back to the show. I do want to mention that this is Aleister Black's music. Aleister Black has not asked for his release yet, though Andrade did. Andrade did last week, and he has not been granted his release yet. So, but we'll see what happens with that. I mean, he's supposed to be getting married to Charlotte Flair too. So, I guess we'll see what happens. But on that note, we've got a lot of things to talk about this weekend. We have Fastlane. It'll be the first WWE event, live event, pay per view, whatever you want to call it, that will be on the Peacock Network. WWE took, handed over the reins to the Peacock Network this past week. And now, if you haven't signed up for the Peacock Network, you have 2 weeks. I mentioned that earlier. You have 2 weeks to do it before the WWE login on the WWE Network is no good. I heard Vince McMahon is actually going to give some money back to people who he's going to prorate the month or something and give people money back. So, if you've got like we're in a March now, you know, we're 3/4 of the way through it. He'll pay that 1/4 of it back to you, so you might see some money pop up back in your bank account, you know. But what do you guys think?
I feel like he would get sued if he didn't do that. So
yeah, you know, you're right. He probably says if you accept this money, then you will not sue me or something. You know, he'll probably have like a clause if you check the box and hit send or something. You know,
and then his limo blows up.
And then he's still alive. I got my email from the WWE Network this week telling me all about it. You know, similar things that you already said. There are going to be prorated refunds after your subscription date, depending on when you originally subscribed and when your payment is. As far as when everything is fully changing over the network, that is April 4th. So use the WWE Network as much as you can now, because once the network is done and goes Peacock officially, it will take a while for the full digital library to show up on Peacock. Probably, they said, before SummerSlam, they're hoping to have everything up there. But use it before you lose it on the network. That's all I'm going to say.
We haven't seen too much complaints from people yet, but I'm guessing that there might be some advantages to having the Peacock network own the WWE network, and that would be one. Since a lot of WWE's original program, like, for instance, Raw is on USA, which is owned by NBC, which is the Peacock network as well. Maybe we'll get Raws on quicker onto the network than we than it takes now, like a month later or whatever it is for when we get a Raw.
I mean, when I think about everything going on in the world, I can't wait to be able to immediately rewatch a 3-hour 2021 episode of Monday Night Raw. It's my dream come true, Rich. I can't wait over and over again. Just put it on loop.
No, you're right. And if you get crap like the last couple of weeks we've had, you know, that they
from what I'm seeing is it's probably still going to be 30 days after.
So but, it's still,
one upside plus, though, I believe for the first like 4 months of switching over, you get it for $9.99 total or $10 total. So essentially your first 4 months are $2.50 a month, which is kind of cool. Then after that, it's going to go down to $4.99 a month, which is for the commercial one. And then if you go to the premium plus account, which is $9.99, which we're all paying already. If you have the WWE network, you'll get commercial free and you'll also have access to all other stuff on Peacock as well.
I wonder if they're going to continue on with things like, you know, like their Raw show that runs right opposite us right now on the network.
Yeah.
Is the WWE still going to be 100% behind creating content for this? Or they're just going to say, okay, we're done creating content. You can use what you got.
And From what I saw, they're still going to do a lot of like their flagship documentary stuff, like the WWE 24s, the Undertaker thing, the Last Riot series they did last year. That's going to be on there. A lot of like their original content will be on there. And then I think they said the 2020 to 2021 library will be there. So unfortunately, we're just playing a waiting game for everything that we all want to see. But it's coming. Just a little bit of patience. They got to work out the kinks. Unfortunately. I don't know if everybody's happy with the way that Peacock is with having to search for everything. So hopefully they work out the kinks.
Yeah, we got to play the waiting game. I'd rather play Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Come on, let's do it. No. Sorry, it's a Simpsons reference. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to hold judgment on what the changes to once I really, you know, once I can't log into my WWE network. I'm going to have to sign up for it eventually, so.
Yeah, I'm not using Peacock until I have to. I mean, I already have the free Peacock account, so once WWE Network goes away, I'll just switch over and pay for the Premium Plus or whatever. Like I said, use it before you lose it, people.
Do you remember when the WWE Network first came on and some of the technical gaffes they had with it? So that's what I'm not looking forward to is maybe with the Peacock Network, you know?
I mean, I bought it the day that it came out. I remember NXT... I think it was the first NXT show, NXT
Our
Arrival.
Arrival.
Yeah, and like the first hour and a half of the show, nobody saw because it wasn't working. But
yeah, well, let's hope that we don't have a replay of especially Sunday night with Fastlane coming on. You know, the last pay per view before WrestleMania.
At least they're trialing it with Fastlane and not WrestleMania.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, why? Yeah. Why would you? Yeah. That's true.
Seems like they're trialing a lot of things with Fastlane. What a underwhelming card for a pay per view. Holy crap! Like,
don't you want to see Alexa Bliss versus Randy Orton?
No. I get like Big E's wrestling. Other than that, like. What am I supposed to care about?
They gave us Drew McIntyre and Sheamus like the last couple of weeks for free, and now they're going to put it on a pay per view.
I've never seen I haven't seen a card this like throwaway since like the early like In Your House days.
Yeah,
and I mean I still like those, but I just to me this is just the ultimate filler. Like I don't know.
The only real thing we might get out of this that plays towards WrestleMania. I mean, there might be some things. Who knows?
Oh no, there's storyline stuff with Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. You know, I mean, there'll probably be some heat between them by the time that match ends.
And the chance of an actual triple threat for the Universal Championship.
See, that's what I'm hoping for, but I doubt it's going to happen. I doubt they're going to let Daniel Bryan into that match at WrestleMania.
I think it's a way to take the if they want to go this direction, it's a way to take the title off of Roman Reigns without him taking a pin.
Yeah, you know, it could be. And we got an Edge, you know, I mean, Edge's got a little gripe against with Daniel Bryan now after he got, you know, not knocked silly a couple weeks ago. But beyond that, yeah, everything else is pretty much like treading water, you know.
This is like when you had house shows back in the day and like the B show or the C show came to your town. And yeah, like we're just waiting to get to WrestleMania, which is the A show. I just don't.
We get the
heavy. To be honest, between this and I'm gonna throw it like right before this pay per view is the NWA pay per view too, and I'm very underwhelmed with that card. Also, like Sunday is tomorrow is a day that should be really fun for wrestling fans, I guess, with all that's going on. But like I'm just not feeling it right now.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's like. It's funny is we'll talk, you know what, we might as well transition into that before we get out of this segment. Is the NWA is having their it's called Back for the Attack pay-per-view tomorrow night, going head to head with WWE's Fastlane, and they've got
theirs starts at 4, right?
Yeah, maybe that's the way they set it up so people would watch it before they'd go to watch Fastlane. But you got Nick Aldis and Aaron Stevens for the NWA Championship. Aaron Stevens, you might remember as Mizdow or whatever. How many names he went by?
Damian Sandow.
Yeah, but when he was Miz's Shadow, he was Mizdow. Okay.
Yep. Which I actually like this match because it's intriguing. Aaron Stevens, when he was in NWA, was tag team champions with. Or was tag teaming with the question mark, Joseph Hudson, Josephus, recently passed away. So there's some intrigue there. They're dedicating the show to him. So maybe Aaron Stevens finally takes the belt off Nick Aldis.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, Nick Aldis has held it for quite a while. Got another match. We got a couple matches. Pope is taking on Tom Latimer for the NWA TV title. And that's Pope. You might remember him as Elijah Burke, I believe, in the WWE. But I was just watching an Impact flashback where Pope was doing announcing with, you know, he was doing announcing on the whole show. So it's like Pope was announcing last thing he was doing with TNA, which I thought, you know, was pretty good. I enjoyed, you know, his commentary. And then we got Jax Dane versus Slice Boogie versus Jordan Clearwater versus Crimson, who I thought he evaporated, disappeared when he was in TNA and went to get a little bit more seasoning elsewhere, we'll say that. And now Crimson. And then we get Chris Adonis, or you remember Chris Masters versus Tyrus as well. That was announced for the show. This is going to be on Fight TV. Thunder Rosa's listed on it. Who's she taking on again?
Camille, number one contenders match for the NWA Championship, women's championship.
There's a couple good matches on there, but overall, you're right. It's like it's a Sunday of
at least it's only $19.99. I guess I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's
compared to some of the others, but I don't know. There's been so many good wrestling shows recently, whether they're indie shows, whether they're, I don't know. I just, to me, this is just, if this is your big return, I expected more out of the card.
Yeah, that's true. But I think they're also, because of the they're not sure when they were going to come back and things like that, I think they lost a bunch of people because
they lost pretty much their entire roster because, I looked the other day, they might have like 6 or 7 people named to their actual roster, and they're all on this card.
So there we go. On that note, we're going to take a break and come back. I have a couple of gripes about things. One will be something I didn't talk about on Fastlane that may be on Fastlane. It may not. We'll find out tomorrow night. But we'll talk about that on the flip side. You are listening to the Pain Clinic, Vox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. That's right, Drew McIntyre's music. A little bit different from what we're hearing now, but close enough. Drew McIntyre being in the main event, probably against Sheamus. I'm not sure if it's actually the main event match, but I did want to mention something on Raw this past week. Drew McIntyre, in his promo, I'm going to read you the statement he said, and it just, you know, it's like you think that, you know, WWE doesn't give a darn about anybody else on this planet, but then this is what Drew McIntyre says. He says, I noticed MVP made some guarantees tonight. That's a dangerous thing to do in this industry, because if you make a guarantee and don't deliver, fans get upset and sparks fly. What was Drew McIntyre talking about? Exploding ring matches, maybe, by chance? I don't know. But I thought that was pretty funny that that was in his promo, you know, on USA. And, you know, they try to make you believe they don't care about anybody else. Don't fall. I mean, oh, man, it's just one of those things.
I give him credit because it's gonna get attention for saying that. So I don't have a problem with him saying that. I would still rather watch that ring explode on repeat for 3 hours and 5 minutes than watch Monday Night Raw. So there's that. But I don't know. I mean, it's hopefully we can move past that soon enough.
Yeah. I mean, they're just rubbing it in, I think, because WWE probably were all laughing about it, watching the replay or something. And
we don't need to say it every time, but there's competition, but these guys are all friends with each other. So many have worked in both companies. So many are married to somebody in the other company or whatever. Like, it's all good for business. Like, they don't really hate each other. Like, it's the same way where you go see two hockey teams like fight each other on the ice, and then back by the dressing rooms before they leave, they're hanging out with each other and saying hi and catching up because they used to play on teams together. Oh, sorry, did that kill kayfabe? Like,
what? Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is everybody wants everybody else to do well. And it's like, you know, it's funny, is for the longest time, I remember when TNA was going on, and, you know, they would never acknowledge TNA ever, ever, ever. But then now you look at who's working for WWE, and it's like, you didn't acknowledge TNA, but AJ Styles is there. You've got Samoa Joe being a commentator. You've got all these people that were involved with TNA. And the funny thing is, I remember hearing a story recently, and I write about this, that John Cena didn't want WWE to sign anybody from TNA. He felt that he trusted their system to create stars. It's like, how could you turn down an AJ Styles, you know, if he was available? You know, it just kills me, because this guy was the John Cena of TNA, you know?
Because people like that would come into WWE and immediately have matches 10 times better than any John Cena match you ever watched.
Oh, yeah.
And then he wouldn't be as big of a star as he was, because WWE didn't have anybody who could be bigger than him. But if they brought in Styles, if they brought in Joe, other people back in the day, like, there would have been a lot more competition for that top spot. So, politics.
No, you're true. If you think about it, too, think about this. AJ Styles did have a series of matches with John Cena. They had a series that went for a few months, and it really was good for both guys, you know?
I was going to say, it's probably Cena's last great feud he'll have in WWE, and I think it will go down, at least in my eyes, as Styles' best feud in WWE.
I think but Styles also had feuded with, he feuded with a lot of people, the people that you wouldn't think that he could put on a good match with, that he put on good matches. And it's kind of like Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan came from Ring of Honor into WWE. Now, we all know, if you've ever seen him in Ring of Honor, you know what this man could do. You know, I mean, I've remember seeing him a bunch of times, and I knew that this guy, he's destined to be there. But, you know, and until he went head-to-head with CM Punk, we never in the WWE, we never really saw a lot from Daniel Bryan. But now this is a guy, you know, I think is still very, very important to that company. But hey, I just wanted to throw that, you know, it's funny, I got kind of a little sidetracked there and everything, talking about Drew McIntyre. Just, you know, just thought it was very interesting that he would quote that, and I'm not going to say the opening promo, but it was pretty much in the beginning, you know, to be near the beginning of the show. But one thing I found, and I'll talk briefly about this, AEW this past week started off with a Cody Rhodes match, and it was a good match. I enjoyed, and it's the second week in a row, I think, that Cody Rhodes came out and wrestled in the first segment on TV.
I like Cody a lot. He wrestled the Shaq match, and then he had the pay-per-view ladder match, and then he wrestled a squash last week, and then he wrestled the opener this week. And it's like, we only have 2 hours of real TV a week. Most everybody's having to work every other week, something like that. He's got this injury thing going on. Why does he still have a match every single week? If I don't know. The match I thought was good. That match with Penta I thought was maybe more intriguing than the ladder match at the pay-per-view that they were both in.
Yeah.
I don't understand the finish at all. Like, if Penta did the arm breaker to Cody, how should he be able to roll him up? Like, how should Cody be able to roll up Penta? And what, like, what's the, I don't get that at all.
It didn't make sense to me too either, because Cody's legs weren't even over Penta's shoulders. Penta's arms were over the top of Cody's feet. So the whole roll up with the pin to me didn't really make sense with the finish, especially when Penta kicks out of all of other Cody's signatures.
If you're going to make Penta be of the death triangle, I mean, everything is switching with all these factions and stuff right now. It's hard to keep up. But if Penta's going to go singles for now, why is he losing right now?
Like, yeah, that's a good question.
He should be built like the main star of that crew.
I was going to say,
if that means he doesn't work Cody, he works somebody lesser and beats him, fine. But he doesn't need a loss this week.
No,
he doesn't need his like devastating arm breaker to just be totally crapped on like that. That didn't make sense to me.
He did that flipping Canadian destroyer too out of the corner, which I know he does it most every match, but I love seeing him do that. You know, I mean, and he hit it perfect.
And the Lucha Bros, I mean, they're probably my favorite tag team of all time. And I mean, they get a lot of TV time, they get a lot of matches, but I tell you, it doesn't seem like they win a lot ever since they debuted on AEW. It doesn't really say if they ever win.
I'm surprised that we're at this point right now that they're not even teaming, but that by now they haven't been tag champions.
Oh, yeah.
In AEW.
I mean, have they even had a shot at the titles except for maybe once?
Really early on.
And then they haven't been anywhere near the title picture since.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Do you think that because we got no Chris Jericho or his gang this week, that they're just selling what happened at the end of the show last week, maybe to build up something for the future?
I think it's more of what we talked about with, like, they're in this tough spot, again, with 2 hours a week, that I think they really got to work a little bit on this balance of, like, even if it's just a quick recap video to make people remember what happens, even if you don't follow up on it. Because the other thing that came to mind with that was Scorpio Sky. Like, he had that TNT title match and he lost it, and then he kind of did a heel turn, and then he wasn't even mentioned on Dynamite this week.
I know they spent like a month building him up. You know, it does make sense.
You gotta at least acknowledge it. Like, at least give me a 40-second recap of last week's episode that shows that. You, like, do something, because you can't just do something big like that. Like, now I feel like Sky is just going to go right back to irrelevancy again.
He'll be back tagging.
Talk about only 2 hours of TV time with the debut of Dark Elevation this past week. That was 2 hours. Then Dark was an hour and 45 minutes on Tuesday. And it's like, AEW Dark Elevation and Dark were almost practically the same style of show. I was expecting a little bit more.
I still don't understand what each show is supposed to be. They, like you said, they were the exact same thing.
Elevation
supposed to be like people who are on the bubble of the Dynamite roster, and then Dark would go to like the people getting more of a tryout? Or is it, like, the other way around? Or is it neither? Are they just the same thing?
Well, like, Dark used to be where you used to have to, you know, you'd win a bunch of times and then they'd bring you up to Dynamite, you know?
And before the pandemic, COVID era, literally AEW Dark was maybe like half hour at most. And it was great.
And it was a good spot for like main roster. Weird to say main roster, but like, yeah, like those people who would be on Dynamite, but you couldn't squeeze them on Dynamite. So they'd have them at the Jungle Boys and everybody else. They would have the matches on Dark. Now you have a lot of people who are actually on your roster on Dark and Dark Elevation. And quite honestly, still way too many people who aren't even indie names. I'm sorry. Like, I like seeing a lot of these names. And like we recognize these names more than casual wrestling fans do. There are still so many people getting matches on Dark every week that I'm like, who the heck is this guy?
They're all trainees with Cody, you know?
And the sad thing is, too, is the AEW roster is so big right now. Why not put, like, your mid-card talent against other mid-card talent on Dark and Dark Elevation and build them up and do something with them, do some feuds, build some story? Like, literally, the only thing difference between the two shows this week were the announced teams, and Kenny Omega was on Dark Elevation for, like, 15 seconds.
True.
Half of the roster that's being used on Dark every week who don't have contracts. Why do all these people need spots? They don't all need spots.
Like,
give them a chance once or whatever. If they impress, fine. But I mean, some of these people, I don't want to name anybody specifically, but they're like, there's probably dozens of people at this point who just keep popping up, and it's like they haven't impressed. They're not under contract. Use somebody we know.
Right. And I can appreciate AEW wanting to give these guys opportunities. And that's not probably, we're not trying to say bad on them for any of that, but it's the fact that you've got guys under contract on your roster that you don't use in spots where it would be great to use them in, especially if you're trying to build talent, especially if they're not on Dynamite every week or even every other week.
You could throw a jobber or two on Sunday Night Heat, but you didn't need 15 matches of people you haven't heard of.
True that. Hey, we got the break on that. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Furby and the Artiste and you. And thank you so much for listening. I want to get some news in real quick. So the seating capacity for WrestleMania is going to be 25,000 fans, and they went on sale yesterday. So if you didn't buy your ticket, it may be sold out already. But the 25,000 fans will be in the stadium in Tampa. So you definitely want Raymond James Stadium. You know, get your tickets if you haven't gotten them yet. Got another name going into the Hall of Fame for 2021. Joining Molly Holly is Eric Bischoff, which it's interesting. Eric Bischoff obviously is getting it because of maybe his importance to the sport of wrestling or the business of wrestling, but definitely not because of what he did in the WWE. Or maybe it is because of what he did in the WWE. But
I think we go through this every year. Like, they've watered down the Hall of Fame so much that even if Eric Bischoff had only ever done his stuff in WWE, I think he would be very qualified compared to some of the bums they've let in. So
true.
Congratulations to Bischoff. I think it's well-deserved. I mean, it should be more of a pro wrestling Hall of Fame than a WWE Hall of Fame. It kind of has to be.
Oh yeah, I agree.
The way things go. But I just, it's at this point, it's hard to say anybody doesn't deserve it.
I would say it's probably overdue and kind of weird timing considering he showed up in AEW on TV.
Yeah, a couple times
last half year.
A couple times, yeah. So I thought that was
a week ago.
A week ago he was asked a question. He was an internet reporter or something. Oh no, he does a podcast. 86 weeks, is that what it's called?
83 weeks.
I give him two, three extra weeks in there. So, some other news. WWE star Charlotte Flair is expecting to star in a remake of the film Walking Tall. It's being produced by NBCU. Surprise, surprise. Flair will play a Tucson cop who finds herself caught in a web of fraud, exploitation, and murder, causing her to go into vigilante mode to protect her town. Now, if the name of the movie sounds familiar, Walking Tall, Dwayne The Rock Johnson starred in the same movie about, 12 years ago. It was Walking Tall, and he played the same character. And that's a remake of a movie as well from, I believe, the late 70s or early 80s. So, but kudos to Charlotte Flair. She gets to be in a movie and probably take some time away, especially since her boyfriend wants to quit the WWE, Andrade. He did ask for his release. He was not granted his release. He wrote on his Twitter this past week, or someone said he looked absolutely miserable, and then he did comment on Twitter that he did ask for his release and that he didn't get it yet, or he just said he asked for it. Nothing else was said, I guess. So, maybe Mr. and Mrs. I was going to say Flair. It's probably Andrade.
Just engaged, right?
Yeah, they're engaged. I think they're still engaged. I don't know. Sometimes things end pretty quick. We don't know about it. Some other news. Kylie Rae is set to make her return to pro wrestling in June. Warrior Wrestling out of Chicago has announced that Rae will defend her Warrior Wrestling women's title on Saturday, June 5th, at the first event in the Warrior Wrestling Stadium Series. What do you guys think about that? I mean, we were really big Kylie Rae fans right up until when she didn't show up at the pay-per-view,
It's a tough subject because it's one of those things where, this is kind of the second time where she kind of stepped away and then has come back. And she was really, she had her opportunity. She was supposed to win the Women's Impact title or the Knockouts title.
Yes.
So the fact that she stepped away from that and now she's coming back, it's like, okay, great. I hope she has great mental health. I hope she's really ready to come back and not give up and quit again. But wish her the best of luck, wish her best of health. But It's like one of those things where I'm happy to see it, but it's like,
I also have very mixed feelings on it. More than anything, I want what's ever best for her as a person. And maybe that is performing. That being said, I think this is the wrong move to announce her return months out like this. I think if anything, it's a show in Chicago. She lives in Chicago. Just have her be a huge surprise. And I understand that's not going to sell you tickets, but it's going to get you the attention. Maybe it sells you tickets for the show after that, whatever. I think, you know, think about like the huge pop that she would get coming out unannounced. I think that's one of that's how I would book it. And yeah, I don't know. It's tough because there's been multiple situations in the last couple of years with her. And again, she's an incredible talent. Didn't really see this coming, and hopefully it goes well. But more than anything, I mean, if it's good for her mental health, great. If it's not, then I don't like it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that is the most important thing. You bring up a great point. I don't think they'd be her sell tickets if they didn't announce her. I mean, they did the Stadium Series last year, and it was very, very successful. So I'm a little surprised on the early announcement and why they may have not used it as a surprise, but...
On that note, we got to get out of here, folks. Don't forget, watch Fastlane tomorrow night, or NWA, the NWA, which is Back for an Attack, which is at 4 o'clock on Fight TV, $19, whatever. As well as, don't forget, AEW is coming to Rochester. They reset their date, September 29th, 2021. It's a Wednesday night. It's going to be live on TV. I want to thank you, Artis. Thank you, Furby, for showing up this week. We'll see you next week, folks. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.